year as we're heading into November, and I want to do help us. Thank you for the gifts and the cards. I'm a little overwhelmed, so I always look back anytime something like this occurs, and I go, man, I really sounded ungrateful. I'm just trying to put it all back together. So thank you. It's like somebody walking up to you and handing you, you know, a pound of cooked bacon. You know, all you can do is eat. You stop whatever you're doing, you eat it right then. Anybody besides me, right? Or warm donuts. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You got to stop and eat them right then. Nod your head if you're with me. I mean, if you think the preacher needs to start having breakfast before he preaches. So thank you. Thank you so much. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Chapter number 4. Probably helpful if I get out my sermon notes here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. If you're willing and able, stand with us. We read God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Excuse me. Read these first five verses. The Bible says, let a man so account of us. And he speaks two directions there. He said, let a man, he's talking to all of them in the church. Remember, we're talking to a church that's had trouble, and he's fixing the trouble. Some of it is corrective, some of it is preventative. He's still in the corrective stage. We're going to be in the preventative stage this morning. Let you all so account of us. And here he's talking about Peter and Apollos. And he's talking about himself. He's talking about the former pastors of the church, those who have ministered to them. You guys look at us this way, as the ministers, servants of Christ, and the stewards of the mysteries, the truth, the revealed truth of God. This is how you are to look at those that serve you. This is how you are to look at those who have been gifted of God to bless the church. Verse 2, moreover, it is required in these stewards that a man, that a person be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing, that I should be judged of you or of another man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. He's not saying that he's immune to any of these things. He's making a point. For I know nothing by myself, but I'm not hereby justified. But yet he that judges me is the Lord. There's one judgment that matters in this area, and that's God's judgment. I'm going to do the best I can, he says, to make sure my hands are clean and I'm pleasing the Lord. But I'm ultimately waiting on the fact that God is the one who knows me inside and out and can give an accurate description and judgment to me. Nod your head if you follow the train of thought. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. If there is a scary verse so far in the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians, it is that one. Who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, the deliberations of the hearts, literally. And then will every man have praise of God. God is the one who's going to give you the thumbs up or the thumbs down, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. It's not to salvation. This is what have you done since you've been saved. And this is the judgment that matters. If you'll allow me this morning to just have a little fun with the title, but here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Would you pray with me one more time right now? Father, front to back, left to right, the dear folks who are watching online who will watch this later on today, Father, thank you. Lord, there are just dozens and dozens of hours poured into a service like this, from the music and the prep, from the people serving and the children's ministries in the back and the nursery, from the folks, Lord, who worked their schedule around, who asked off from different bosses, who made sure to be here today. And so, Father, that's compounded with the number of people here. And so I pray that our time would be spent well. More than that, that you would get honor and glory this morning. And Father, I pray that right now you'd speak to every heart. I pray that you draw people to yourself. And I pray you'd help us to understand that we will one day all give an account to you. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us understand this perspective, Lord, what is so wrong in so many churches, and particularly seem like here in the eastern part of our country. And I pray, God, that you would allow this not to necessarily be corrective, but preventative as well. God, that you would help us. Help me to speak clearly, enunciate well. I pray you get honor and glory for what's done. Lord, I love you and I need you. Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Anybody here ever had to move and then find new things? Anybody here had to move and find new dentists, new doctors, those kind of things? Nod your head, a few of you. How many of you just moved, you never got anybody, you just drove back where, yeah. And we tried that before. My wife really had a hairstylist she liked, and she was driving like 5 or 6 hours, and she'd get the lion's mane look, and she'd say, I got to go see Shana. And I'm like, well, it only costs like, you know, $300 to get your hair cut, time you fit the gas. I'm exaggerating here. But it's risky, you know, and you find somebody and they listen to you or they don't listen to you. It's difficult. We had moved to a place and had to find a barber, And I was trying to find a barber. Nod your head if you understand. Barber and stylist, different things. Men, can you nod at me or blink at me and do that? Do that. You know, Melinda, you had to move. You had to find all new stuff, didn't you? And you find some things and all. And it's difficult because you're terrified, right? You're terrified because they may do really good, but they get a hold of you and they just go, well, it's Tuesday, you know, and these kind of things. I got my hair cut with one guy. He had a vacuum attached to it like a Flobee. And I walked out of there. I didn't even know my head was misshapen, but I knew then. And he cut it so close, you know, I felt like I was bleeding up there. There's parts of my scalp that had seen the sun, had never seen it. And so we'd moved, and I'm trying to find somebody. And I got in my head that I don't want a lady to cut my hair. I don't know where I got that. I reckon the story of Samson, you know, Delilah cut his hair and then he poked his eyes out. And I figured that's a bad haircut. And lady cuts my hair now. I'm over that. Some of you are going, you shouldn't do that. But anyway, but I was there and I'd been to one guy and it was awful. And been to another guy and I said, do this, don't do this, don't cut the crown, it sticks up. He cut my crown. I looked like a rooster for like 2 weeks, you know. So I'm just working my way through town. I finally end up at this place. And it was a straight-up beauty parlor. Beauty parlor. I mean, the hoods there, you know, the smell of the chemicals. And I go in there, and I'm just desperate. Say, good to see you. Yeah. Said, you new to town? I said, well, a little bit and all. And I'd been there several months by now, 8 or 9 months. And I sat down and what do you do? And I started to tell her, although I'm scared to tell some people, you know, you've heard me say, because some people, they don't like preachers. And then some people, they hear that you're a preacher, they just start lying to you all of a sudden. You know, they talk ugly and be mean. Then they'll hear that you're a preacher. Oh, brother, so-and-so, you know, and I don't like that. Nod your head if you don't like fakes and phonies. You know, nod your head if you're with me. But I sat down there, and I've told some of this story before, but I sat down there, and I tried to say something about where do you go to church? Do you have plans tomorrow? And all she heard was church. And it was at this point, she said, oh, did you hear about so-and-so church? Did you hear about so-and-so church? And I said, yes. And she said, did you hear about their pastor? Well, I was inviting them to our church where I was the pastor. And I'm like, no, do tell. And she starts in about how sorry, no good, and low count the new pastor is at this church where I am the one who she's talking about. Andre, I'll tell you, if I'm lying, I'm dying, I promise. And she's going, and she keeps going. And what it was there was a guy in the church, who was working with the young people, and somehow was working with the young people, but he was drinking and he was flirting with the teenage girls and all these things. And I didn't think any of those things were good qualifications for a guy to be doing in a church. Nod your head if you're with me here. And he was ugly and used ugly words. And so I basically told him to step off, and he refused to step off. I'd be up there preaching and he'd come in and take the young people out. So it was really kind of an ugly thing. Nod your head if you believe some people act really ugly like that. Well, this guy had made it his mission to go all around town. I've already worked my way through several barbershops and I'm at the stylist and I'm in there and she's telling me how sorry I am and doesn't know it. And talking about all these things, she's doing it. People have asked me, said, preacher, why didn't you say something to her? Because she had sharp instruments in her hand. You know, I don't want to make anybody upset with a razor or a sharp pointy stick. And so she's just going on repeating what she's heard. And I'm thinking, well, it's a good thing that hairstylists and people who work with hair, you know, are known for keeping secrets. You know, surely it's not all over town. here she's telling me, a total stranger, about all this kind of stuff. How many of you nod your head if you think that's not a good idea? And so she's talking to me, and she gets done. God is my witness. She gets done. She's taking my money, and she looks at me and said, oh, by the way, you never told me what you did. I said, well, I'm the pastor over at that church. And she went. I didn't tip her. And, and I walk out upset, mad, embarrassed, and realizing I have to find somebody else to cut my hair all these times. Say, that really didn't happen. You ask Andre, it not only happened, but it was much worse than that. When we talk about these kind of things, we are talking about one of the favorite indoor sports in America. I looked at some old statistics, and they were pre-internet. You understand now it's just commonplace for people to be completely critical of others, to be anonymously critical. Newspapers have had to cut out their forums and their discussion boards because people are so mad and so angry. In the education world, there are whole websites given to "My Professor Stinks" and other words that are uglier than that, as people who get a bad grade because they don't come to class or something silly like that, and they try and nuke the professor and make it so that he can't get tenure or gets fired. And we are just given to criticism. We are given to that. And if we're not real careful, that whole spirit of the age bleeds over into the church world. Nod your head if you think that's easy for the spirit of the age to bleed over in the church world. So he's been working on them. He's been talking to them. He said, you've been factional and divided, and you've had all these things that are going on, but I want to remind you, you've got the wrong criteria for judging ministry. You've got the wrong kind of criteria, and I want to give you something. I want you to help you. I want to remind you, but God knows everything, and God is the one who will judge everyone. God knows everything, and God is the one who will judge everyone. How many of you, that's comforting and terrifying all at the same time? Nod your head with me. God knows, and God's the one who's going to judge. And it's his stamp that really, really matters. Now, let me give you a little disclaimer here. He's not talking necessarily about moral things. He addresses that, chapter 6. Not talking about moral things. He's not saying that people in leadership are exempt from morality areas. He's not saying that at all. Matter of fact, they're held to a higher standard. There's 31 requirements for a pastor and 28 for a deacon that they are to be upheld to. And the higher you go in spiritual leadership, the more is expected of you, and the less you have that may be acceptable to others but is not acceptable and permissible to you. There's a higher standard. He's not talking about the fact that they may never do anything that they need to apologize for. That's not true either. Paul's going to say some of those kind of things. He's going to make some of those kind of remarks. He's going to talk about being too strong with them in 2 Corinthians. He's going to talk about the fact that he missed Judge Mark and he was too harsh with him. There's some things that you do. He's not talking about never making mistakes. He's simply saying the attitudinal idea that you are to be focused on personality and charisma and personal preference does not make a good ministry or a bad ministry. God knows everything, and God will judge everyone. Say, why does he say that? Because look right here for a second. Because there is nothing that rips a church like when they start attacking leadership or choosing sides in leadership over non-essential things. Look right here at me. Again, pastor's got his hand in the offering plate. Excuse me, there's moral things going on. That's not what this passage is talking about here. But you have people who, for no other reason other than the acquisition of power or because they don't like something really small or whatever it is, and they get all bent out of shape, and then it's all over, and then you got to side with me. If you're not for me, you're against me. And that's what was going on there. I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm of Apollos, and they were split all these different ways over personality and over preference. And Paul just setting them right. He says, hey, I'm the one who started the church. I'm the one who led so many of you. Jesus, I want you to understand something. God knows everything, and God is the one who chose one. This is how it works. This is how it goes. I want to give you a couple ideas here. And again, I'm thankful that I'm not preaching this under the white hot fury and avalanche of problems. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. I'm thankful that I'm not here up here arguing for me to be able to stay here. That's a bad place to be for people. That's a bad place to be. By the way, and it happens just that fast. The internet is like accelerant. What used to take weeks and months to develop now can happen in a weekend. And the truth doesn't matter. All that matters is emotion. Here he speaks to it. God will judge everyone. So how do we work through this? So number one, be careful. Be careful how you judge those in ministry and judge those pastors and those in ministry. And again, I'm so thankful, and it's such an odd backdrop here for the love you've seen to me, but maybe that'll help this stand out, that this is not Rodney saying, don't be mean to me. Instead, this is the scripture saying, you be careful how you judge people. Nod your head if that's okay over there, but be careful. Look at verse 1. Let a man, you all, so account of us, Paul, Peter, Apollos, as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the ministry of God. You be careful. You be careful how you do this. You be careful. Well, I like this and I don't like that. I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't like rare burgers and rare steak. I just don't. I'll eat rare beef Wellington and rare roast beef, but I want it hot. I don't want it cool and rare. Somebody nodded their head at me. And I want it. Somebody's like, just flip mine over on the sidewalk or on the grill. You know, get it warm and I'll eat it. Well, you go somewhere else and eat. And doesn't make you right or wrong. You know, it makes you nasty, but it doesn't make you right or wrong. You know, there. I know people like anchovies on pizza. God bless you. I don't know how you ever got married. That stuff, and it just never leaves you. Never leaves you. You know, it doesn't make it right or wrong. Again, just makes you, I'll flip it around. Every now and then, like once every 10 years, I'll get a wild hair, and I'll toast some bread, whip up some tuna fish. I lost some of you right then. And put just the tiniest bit, maybe once every 20 years, the tiniest bit of peanut butter. And that, I'm good to go. I hadn't done that since I've been married. I don't know why I brought that up. I'm just trying to help you because so far I've been picking on y'all. Some of you are going, no, I hadn't eaten. I don't know if I'd like it now. I hadn't had it since I was a kid. And it was an accident then. I picked up two halves of bread that I thought were the same sandwich. That's how it started, you know. Mom had made, she hadn't finished slapping them together. So I picked up what I thought was just regular bread, and I put it, and I took a couple of bites, and it didn't kill me. So I've eaten it about four times. Some of you have lost the sermon now because you're going, oh! That's not a right or wrong thing. That's just, again, I hadn't had it since I was a teenager. Probably may have been since I was in the preteens. Anyway. But I've brushed since then, baby. Yeah. Some of you are lost on the sermon illustration. Look right here. That's why you don't get off your notes. You be careful. Be careful. Why? He says two things about them. I want to walk you through it quickly here. Number one, he said, you remember they're servants of Christ. They're servants of Christ. Look in the text there. He says they are the ministers, the servants there. Some of you in your study Bibles, some of your notes there, it says, gives you a definition, under rowers. These are galley slaves. These are ones in the bottom of the boat. They're not in steerage. They're the ones down there rowing the boat. They're the ones chained in there. They are, in one sense, to be hard workers. In another sense, they understand that their place, that they are not the ones elevated. None of us are. The one who is elevated is Christ. And Christ is the one. Christ is the one. He is the one that we are the servants of. They are subordinate to Him. They call people to Him, but they realize who they are. I'm always nervous when I see a guy or see a ministry, and his picture gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and his name is plastered on everything and all this kind of stuff, because that has got to be a real fight to think that it's about him and not about me. And we do things here on purpose to make sure that they're about him and not about us, not about you, and certainly not about me, because we are the servants of Christ. You be very careful in your criticism and your judgment, because you understand that these people are the servants of God. The servants of God. They are the ones who have been called to serve the King. I mean, called to serve the King. Andre was gone, came back, and Riley had worked hard and tried to straighten up the house and all, make it nice for his mom, and Andre's kind of fussing at him and all, and I'm sitting there in my head, and I'm just thinking, what else could he do, man? That's his mother, and he loves her, and he wants to serve her, and wants to please her, and wants to make her happy. Isn't that the way it is when you love somebody? And we are the servants of Christ. You said you be careful because they're stewards. Stewards, very familiar verse to some of you. They're stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required. They're to be trustworthy. Servanthood and stewardship are inseparable from faithfulness. An unfaithful servant is a self-contradiction. One of the things is, Brother Glaspie's been here with us now a little over a year and a half and been working on him as a young man in ministry, is you make sure that you are faithful. Make sure that you are faithful. Taught for all those years, and it's no big deal. Do this, do that. And I look at a student. If I did it once, I did it 100 times, and say, it is important that you do what you're asked when you're asked. That you be faithful because somebody has done this and you said you would do this. It's not about the assignment at that point. It's about your character. Will you do what you said you would do? By the way, anybody in here, parents, you think like that? It's not important that the room gets clean. It's important that they do what they said they would do. It's not important that the trash is not as important that the trash is taken out. It's important that they would keep their promise and keep their commitment. Why? Because that is required of a man to be found faithful. Notice what we're stewards of. I don't want you to miss that. And again, time's going to get away from us if I'm not careful. He says you're a steward of the mysteries of God. You're steward of the Word of God. And it's the idea here, all that God has unpacked and all that God has revealed to us. Sometimes we think of the Word of God, we just think of a Bible. Not sure if you're like me. Sometimes I think of a physical book instead of just all the truth that it represents. I'm glad that it's all bound up for us. I really am. But it's more than the physical book. It is the Word of God that's been given to us that transformed people's lives. Look right here for a second. Look right here. I appreciate everybody who catches me cutting limbs or bushes or working in the flower beds or painting the back fence or whatever. I mean, I appreciate the kudos. I promise. And that is work. Nod your head. It's work. But it's work. It's work Monday morning with an open Bible and a legal pad, digging through the scriptures. Because I'm going to preach Wednesday night, because I'm going to preach Sunday school, I'm going to preach Sunday morning, I'm going to lead a Bible study Sunday night, because I'm going to give an account to God how I handled that. Let me help you. And everybody in here who's been given God's truth, you're going to give an account how you have been a manager of the mystery of God and His Word. That is absolute work. And it is something that the judge will come and will judge us for. God requires faithfulness in His servants. He requires faithfulness. Sir, He says, you think it's about Peter's preaching style or Peter's dynamics or Apollos and his velvety voice. Or you think about it's Paul, who's the pioneer and he's the missionary. And he's got all the great stories. He says, you missed the point. Is he faithful? Is the minister, the workers of God, are they faithful in handling the Word of God? Are they serving? Are they serving? I know folks, man, who won't serve. Nod your head if you know. You ask them to do stuff, blah, 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 blah. I got people, I think, if they know I'm coming for them, they don't want to answer the phone. You know, they disconnect things. They move. And I'm kidding here. There's something ought to beat in the heart of a child of God. Let me at it. Let me at it. I can't do some things, but I can do these other things. And I got work. I got second shift. I'm not, you know, if some of you have told me no lately, I'm not throwing any rocks at you. I'm simply saying their folks only want to be served. Want to be served. One guy I read this week, he calls them parasitic Christians. I think that's a good name, isn't it? Parasitic Christians. Only want to take, never want to give, and anything you get from them hurts you. That's good stuff, isn't it? Amen. I should have called it parasitic Christians. That would have been a better title, right? God requires faithfulness in His servants. He requires faithfulness in His servants. He says, be conscious, be careful in your criticism. Be careful how you judge pastors in the ministry. Are they faithful to God? Are they faithful to Him? And again, I talk from now to 3 o'clock about bad behavior I've watched in 27 years. I'm thankful that in 4 years I've had light criticism compared to so many. Somebody say amen to that. I'm thankful. I know people have been excoriated. I know people had their power cut off in a parsonage. In our pulpit, David Crow stood from Nashville, Tennessee, and told of a young couple who had crossed the wrong power broker in the church. He went to their house and said they're going to the bathroom too much. Told them to limit themselves to 3 flushes a day. 4 people in the house. I don't want to be anywhere near that guy on Judgment Day. Nod your head if you're with me. Been light. I know missionaries who have risked life and limb. I'm thankful criticism been light. Do you hear me? You want to tear up a church, you let everybody go about this and that and that and the other. Are they faithful to serve God and to manage to be entrusted to His Word? Where do we ever get away from that? Where do we ever get away from, man, that's a really good church, man, because they got a kicking music program. Well, that's a really good church because they got that's a really good pastor because he's got funny stories. Where do we ever get that? Where do we ever get that it was about anchovies and pepperoni? Where do we ever get that it was about medium rare and well done? Where did we ever get that idea? Where we ever get so far? By the way, that's when a church goes into chaos. Let me say it preventatively here. We have aught with one another. We go to one another. We get straight. Personalities and those kind of things. Some of the stuff we just need to go, and move along. Life too short and judgment is too strong to hurt what God says. By the way, last week, don't mess with His church. So be careful, be careful, be conscious that God is a judge. And this is our last thing. Look at it again. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment, yet I judge not my own self. I judge not my own self. He gives 3 areas here that he talks about. He talks about other people's judgment. He acknowledges it. There are folks who are just going to be critical and be judgy. Be judgy. Nod your head if you understand that. Anybody besides me ever been somewhere and total stranger give you one of those? And you want to look at them and go, I eat peanut butter and tuna fish. I'm not scared of you. And maybe that's all you can still think about. Don't do that. I somewhere, it's been years ago now. Kids were small. One of them said something about Allison. Bunch of 10, 11-year-old doofuses. What's a plural? Is it doofi? Doofuses. And said something. I heard him. Girl over there, 4 eyes, something. I don't know what it said. I went, huh. And Allison went, don't do anything. I said, Allison, I could eat the one. I know I can take the other. You know, I walked over to him and said, what'd you say? Because if you raise your voice and you look down, it's terrifying. And what'd you say? He looked at his buddy. His buddy looked at him. I said, I heard you. I just want to hear it again. We're sorry, miss. Don't you say sorry to me. You go say sorry to my daughter, my princess, the apple of my eye, the one who I have raised to be all that she ought to be. You go over and talk to her. Okay. Walked over, mumbled something, walked back. I said, you embarrass me. I don't care. I had a great time. And, man, that was wonderful. It's marvelous. It's amazing. There are other people's judgment. Everybody's wired a little differently. Some of you, people that love you can say something to you, doesn't bother you, but a total stranger say something to you and annoy you to death. He says, acknowledge that. He talks about his own judgment, self-reflection, self-condemnation. This trips other people's triggers. The imperfection. Can't stand to look in the mirror. Can't stand how they appear. constant self-criticism. That's a rabbit hole people go down, and they never, ever seem to be able to get out of it. Men struggle with it. Women struggle with it. Here's the comparison game. He says, I got this. He said, but as far as I know, my hands are clean. As far as I know, I'm doing what God has told me to do. As far as I know, beware. Then he gets to God's judgment. Look at verse 40. You still with me? Say amen. But he that judges me is the Lord. That is comforting and that is convicting. That is comforting and convicting. Real quickly here, wave, nod, or blink at me. Anybody ever got it wrong about you? Been critical? Been nasty? Been snarky? And they were just as wrong as they could be? Wrong as they could be? Told the story. I got people mad with me to this day about a letter that I didn't write. I was out of the country. I put on some committee at some meeting. I wasn't there. They figured out I wasn't there. They wrote the letter. But because I was on the committee, even though I was out of the country, they put my name on. They signed my name at the top of the letter like I wrote it. It went from that meeting to a meeting. It eventually ended up at a national meeting where I saw it, by the way, for the first time as it was read into the minutes. Sincerely, Rodney Holloman, chairman. I'm going, oh, my word. People walking up to me going, ugh. Other people going, man, that was a good job, brother. Other people going, I can't believe you think that way. I got emails from crazy people upset with me. And I had no idea. I finally found out what happened, who did it and all. And he said, well, you weren't here. But we had to do something. I said, why did you put my name on it? He said, well, you're the chairman. I said, I was out of the country. He said, but you were the chairman. I said, you know how many people are mad? He said, well, better you than me. Ugh. He says, God's judgment is what matters. It's comforting and convicting. Look at verse 5. We're done. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. If they are serving and they are faithful managers, stewards, God will judge. Who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have his praise of God. Here's what he does. He says, remember, we are all stewards. What you have is not yours, and what you have, you will one day give an account for. You will give an account of your time and your talent and your treasure and your testimony. Hey, Corinthian church, remember, you're so upset because you think Peter's better or Paul's better or Apollos is better and you're doing all this stuff. You remember, one day, God's going to talk to you. You're a steward. You're a steward. You're a manager. It is not yours, and you will one day give an account. Remember, you are all stewards. Remember, number two, we are required to be found faithful. It is required of a steward, verse 2, to be what? Faithful, trustworthy. God, help me be faithful. That came to me not real long ago. Really trying to bait me into being critical of somebody, another pastor, Christian worker. I looked at him, I said, do they love Jesus as far as I know? Do they love their wife and their kids as far as I can know? I said, well, what's the deal then? Why are you so hot to trot? Whether, you know, you don't like that. You don't like that, but I'm not joining your parade. I'm not joining your parade. If I get a chance, I'll talk to him, but I'm not lobbing grenades over the fence at this fellow. I'm just not going to do it. He's being faithful and been faithful to God and faithful to his family. I'm just not doing it. Not doing it. By the way, I learned that the hard way because I had that done to me years ago. That's no fun. We're required to be found faithful. Let me stop right here because he turns it on them. Where are you doing with this? You trustworthy? You faithful to God? Can you be counted on? He says, remember, the judge says you're a manager, a steward. Remember, the judge says you're required to be found faithful. And then finally, you will all give an account to the master. Everybody who is breathing will give an account to the master of your time, talent, treasure, and testimony. What have you done with the truth? What have you done with the finances he's given you? What have you done with the family he's given you, the job that he's given you, the time that he's given you, the opportunities that he's given you? You understand, you get all worked up and bent out of shape about this and that, but you understand. Well, you're focused on personality. God said, I'm focused on the person. Don't miss it, and we're going to pray. God will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will unfold, unpack, make manifest, reveal the deliberations, the secret things of your heart. He says in another passage, there is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. You're really worked up about personalities and all that. You need to understand there's a day coming where God's going to say, I know everything and have always known everything. And I'm going to show you that I've known everything. And then I'm going to say, good job, bad job. Then I'm going to say, gold, silver, precious jewels, wood, hay, stubble. I'm going to say, worthy, worthless. I'm going to say, ashamed worker, unashamed worker. You be faithful. You understand what's about to happen. And you remember that we will all give an account to the master. D.L. Moody said it once, he said it many times, recorded many of his sermons. Most awesome thought I have ever had is that I will one day stand before a holy God and answer why. And answer why. Would you pray with me right now? Father, we love you this morning. So much more to unpack. Thank you for the time we've had together. Oh, I pray that you would be with us. Father, there's here perhaps this morning who they're on the outside looking in. They think it's silly for people who supposedly know Christ to be critical but of leadership. But Lord, that is, again, the culture bleeding in. It does so often. But it is supernatural to be forgiven of our sins and to think about the fact that you died for us when we were unlovely and when we were awful and when we were your enemy, but you died for us and changed our life. And this wonderful thing that you birthed the church is a place for believers to come and unbelievers to come and to find you. So if they're here this morning, would you work in their hearts? Oh, I pray that you draw them to yourselves. Or there are folks that are here with needs today and maybe they've made bad decisions. Maybe they've decided that they're the Lord of their life and that they're their boss and that you are just extra. You are an accessory. You are a belt buckle. You are just a piece of jewelry to put on and to take off instead of the centrality of her life. And God, would you help them to understand and reorient their lives and to be forgiven and repent? And God, I am not the one in charge you are. I am simply a servant. And I take my orders from you. God, a lack of servanthood screams against faithfulness because it's hard to be faithful to you when we are faithful for you when we're not faithful to you. God, would you help us today for those who are unfaithful this morning? Father, I pray that you be with us right now.